Welcome back for another deep dive. And today we're stepping into the future, a future imagined by John Madog Hall and others. They call it Mad Dog, Terry, and it's really fascinating. You know, kind of a blend of like high tech and community and all this stuff. Yeah. We're working from notes and outlines though, so it's kind of like we're peeking into their brainstorming sessions a little bit.
It is very raw.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's the core idea that I think is really striking.
Okay.
And that is picturing your neighborhood as this sort of like hyper-connected, self-sufficient ecosystem.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Where does it even begin, though?
Well, they start with a problem.
Okay.
And they call it the Aunt Millie problem.
Okay.
And essentially, it's how do you protect those who are less technical from the dangers of the internet and things like that?
Got it.
And so their solution is the techie.
Okay.
This local expert in the neighborhood who kind of becomes everyone's go-to for tech support, yep. Essentially.
So not just your like average IT person or something.
Right.
What makes these techies different?
Yeah, they evolved to become much more than that. That's almost like a neighborhood CIO in a way, managing things like security and even critical local services.
Mm-hmm.
And they do this through something they call the AFO, which is...
Hold on, the AFO, I like that.
Yeah, it sounds kind of mysterious, right?
Yeah, tell me more.
Yeah, so think of it as like a localized off-grid network for essential things. So, you know, medical records or financial systems or security.
Yeah.
Imagine like a power outage hits or something, right?
Yeah.
You can still access what you need because it's not relying on the main grid.
That's thinking ahead.
Right.
Yeah, that's way beyond just like fixing someone's Wi-Fi.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It gets even more ambitious.
Okay.
It outlines three phases in this document.
All right.
So phase one really focuses on that initial techie role, the protector and facilitator, but then it evolves from there.
Let me guess. Phase two is where it becomes more than just like a helpful neighbor down the street.
Exactly. That techie network, they call it BLON, it gets more organized.
Okay.
They envision this higher level structure, something called ALAN, to provide support.
Got it.
Maybe even a formal business model.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, something like a co-op or a B Corp, something along those lines.
So making it sustainable then, not just a temporary fix or something like that.
Yeah, sustainability is definitely key.
Okay.
But here's where I think it gets really mind-blowing. Phase three.
All right, lay it on me.
They introduced the NAN and the BUS.
Okay, you're going to have to break those down for me.
All right.
What are NAN and BUS?
So NAN stands for Neighborhood Area Network.
Okay.
Picture this. You need a plumber, you need a tiler, you need someone to walk your dog, whatever.
Huh.
The NAN connects you to all those services, but within your own community.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So like a hyper-local service directory?
Exactly.
But on steroids.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And the BUS?
The BUS is the business utility system.
Okay.
So imagine all the local businesses, right? They're woven into this network and they can share resources, maybe even share employees.
Interesting.
And the idea is that small businesses can suddenly access the same kind of technology as the big guys.
Wow.
Leveling the playing field against, you know, giants like Amazon.
Wait, are we talking like AI and drones delivering groceries down the street now?
Oh, yeah. They envision AI and robotics playing a huge role.
This is getting really futuristic.
It is.
Okay, so that raises a lot of questions, funny though.
Sure.
What about the people who aren't so, you know, tech savvy?
Yeah.
Would they get left behind in this like high-tech neighborhood?
That's a valid concern, and actually they address it head on. Besides the importance of things like lifelong learning and continuous skill development.
Oh, okay.
You know, think revitalized computer clubs.
Yeah.
Maybe even a resurgence of those polytechnic schools.
Right.
Places where people can get like hands-on experience with the tech.
So it's not just about like throwing tech at the problem. It's about like upskilling the community to like use it effectively.
Exactly. Yeah.
I like that.
But even with a skilled community, you know, this whole system really hinges on those BLAN techies.
Right.
They're essentially like the glue holding it all together.
That makes finding the right people absolutely crucial then.
Oh, for sure.
Not just anyone can handle it.
Well, they acknowledge that like recruitment and training is going to be a major hurdle.
Yeah.
These techies need more than just technical chops, right?
Yeah.
You need people skills, empathy, the ability to build trust with folks like our Aunt Millie.
Right. They need to be like the bridge between the technology and the people it serves.
Yeah.
That's a unique skill set.
It is.
Yeah.
And then there's the question of keeping those skills sharp and relevant, right?
Right.
ongoing support and training, I think, are essential, especially as technology keeps evolving at such a rapid pace.
Yeah. And speaking of keeping things up to date and all that,
yeah,
you mentioned this idea earlier of ratcheting up the basics.
Oh, yeah.
Energy, shelter, food, water.
Yeah.
Like, that's getting into some serious survivalist territory now.
Well, that's where I think things get really interesting.
Okay.
The document doesn't go into, like, deep specifics on this.
Okay.
But it suggests a future where technology can help us secure those basic needs locally and sustainably.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like this vision of a post-scarcity society in a way.
So blending, like, cutting-edge tech with almost like a back-to-basics kind of self-sufficiency mindset.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fascinating.
It is, and it raises a whole host of new questions, right?
Wait, right.
How do you implement such radical changes?
Yeah.
Who makes the decisions in this hyper-local world?
Yeah, who governs this tech-powered utopia? Is it pure democracy?
Right.
Is it a council of tech wizards?
That's another area where they sort of leave things open for discussion. They hint at new models of governance, things that are more decentralized, more participatory, but the specifics are left for us to grapple with.
It sounds like fertile ground for debate.
Boy, absolutely.
What about privacy, though? With so much data flowing through these local networks, how do you protect people's information?
That's a crucial concern they raise.
Yeah.
But again, they offer more questions than answers, right?
Okay.
They advocate for strong privacy protections built into the system itself.
Mm-hmm.
But the how-to is left rather vague.
So it's a bit like they're just like throwing out this big, bold vision.
Yeah.
Just being like, all right, you guys figure out the details.
Right, exactly. They're not claiming to have all the answers.
Yeah.
But they are pushing us to think critically about the future that we want to build.
Okay.
And that, I think, is valuable in itself.
Yeah, for sure. And earlier you mentioned this concept called the wrap.
Oh, yes.
Which sounds like something I definitely want in my life.
I know, right? What is that? Exactly.
Okay, so picture Aunt Millie again.
Okay.
But this time she has a leaky shower, right? Okay. Yeah, it happens.
In the Mad Dog Terry vision, once she reports that problem into the Nan-Nan, it's out of her hands.
Really?
The system takes care of everything.
Wait, so they find the plumber, they schedule the repair, they handle, like, payment, the whole nine yards.
Precisely.
Wow.
And the wrap applies to way more than just home repairs.
Okay.
It's about creating this safety net that ensures that, like, the community's needs are met efficiently and reliably.
That level of support has got to be incredibly empowering.
Oh, yeah.
For both the residents and for, like, the local businesses involved.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, everyone wins.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
They see this model as a way to revitalize those local economies,
mm-hmm.
create more fulfilling work.
Right.
And foster just like a stronger sense of community.
But of course, no system is perfect.
Of course not.
What are some of the potential like downsides or challenges that they foresee?
Well, for starters, I think this model requires a really high level of community buy-in.
Yeah.
What about people who just prefer the anonymity of a big city?
Right.
Or those who just don't like the idea of collective action?
Right. Yeah, it's not a one-size-fits-all solution.
Exactly.
There's also the question of inclusivity.
For sure.
How do you make sure that these like hyper-local communities don't become insular or exclusive?
Yeah, they do touch on the importance of diversity and inclusivity.
Okay.
But again, they don't really delve into specifics.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're saying, hey, we need to figure this out together, you know?
It's a big challenge.
It is.
But also a huge opportunity.
Yeah.
We're talking about like reshaping the very fabric of society here.
Absolutely.
But before we get too carried away with like revolutionizing the world.
Right.
There's one more aspect I want to explore.
Okay.
The role of education in all of this.
Yeah, they really highlight the importance of ongoing learning.
Okay.
Not just for the techies, but for everyone in this future world.
Well, buckle up because this is where it gets really interesting. All right, so we've talked about techies and networks and even, you know, drones delivering plumbing supplies.
Right.
But what about the human element in all this? Like, yeah. How do people actually adapt and thrive in this Mad Dog Terry future?
Well, they envision education evolving beyond just those traditional schools.
Okay.
They suggest like a resurgence of hands-on learning.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine like vibrant computer clubs, right?
Yeah.
Where people of all ages can just gather to like tinker and experiment,
yeah,
and learn from each other.
So less about textbooks and lectures and more about like getting your hands dirty.
Exactly.
And actually building things.
Yeah.
I can see that appealing to a lot of people.
I think so too.
Especially those who learn best by doing.
Absolutely. And it goes beyond just those technical skills too, right?
Yeah.
They see this fostering a culture of like lifelong learning,
mm-hmm.
where curiosity and knowledge sharing just become second nature.
That's a beautiful vision. But what happens to traditional schools in this model?
Right.
Do they just fade away?
They don't suggest that they disappear entirely.
Okay.
Rather, schools would transform into something more flexible,
mm-hmm.
more responsive to the needs of the community.
Okay.
It's like personalized learning paths.
Right.
And an emphasis on real-world skills rather than just like rote memorization.
So less about standardized tests,
yeah.
and more about preparing students for, you know, the unique demands of this tech-driven world.
Precisely.
It sounds like a pretty radical shift.
It is, but they argue that it's necessary, you know.
Okay.
To keep pace with the rapidly evolving technological landscape that we live in,
mm-hmm.
they see education as less something that you complete.
Okay.
And more as a continuous process.
Right.
That's woven into everyday life.
It's like they're envisioning a world where learning never stops.
Right.
It's happening all around us.
Yeah, in our communities, in our interactions with technology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everywhere.
So let's take a step back for a second. Okay.
And consider the big picture.
Right.
We've got this vision of, you know, hyper-connected communities,
mm-hmm.
local control over essential services.
Right.
Technology that empowers rather than isolates.
Yeah.
And this culture of, like, continuous learning.
Absolutely.
It's a lot to wrap your head around.
It is ambitious. But I think what makes the Mad Dog Terry document so compelling is that it doesn't shy away from the complexities.
Right.
It acknowledges those potential challenges,
mm-hmm.
while still, you know, inviting us to imagine a future that is more resilient and equitable and, you know, technologically sophisticated.
And it's not about like blindly accepting their vision either.
No.
It's about picking it apart and debating it.
Yeah.
And ultimately deciding which aspects resonate with us,
yeah.
and which ones we might want to approach differently.
Exactly. They're not offering like a blueprint,
hmm.
but rather like a starting point for a conversation.
Yeah.
About how we want to shape our technological future.
It's been a fascinating deep dive.
It has. We've explored a truly unique vision of the future.
Yeah. Very thought-provoking.
But as always, you know, the real work begins when we step away from all this information,
mm.
and we start asking ourselves those tough questions.
Right.
You know, what excites us about this model? What concerns us?
Right.
And most importantly, what role do we want to play in shaping the future of our own communities?
The future is not something that just happens to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we create.
Right.
Collectively through our choices and actions.
Well said.
Nice.
And that's something worth thinking about.